Hello, everyone, and welcome to Devotional Life with Paul
and Jeannie.
And again, we're glad you joined with us today for this devotional time where, Lord, you know that we stop at this time and we put our hearts and minds and thoughts on you. So be with us now, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jeannie, we are in such an interesting place in Joseph's life. We talk about what a wonderful person he is, what a great character that he has. And you would think that somebody picked, chosen by God for a specific purpose would have it easy, but this is not easy life that he's having.
Right. You know, so oftentimes we pray and we've heard the phrase, give the favor of Joseph. And yes. I've prayed that for my own children. Give them the favor of Joseph at their work or whatever. And the Lord is with Joseph. I mean, we hear that repeated over and over. And what Joseph does is blessed by the Lord. And that's because Joseph continues to turn his heart towards the Lord and not get embittered. And where he finds himself, you know, he grows and he honors God.
You know, I remember a time years ago when we were praying for our kids. Not that we've stopped praying for our kids, but I think to a large extent our prayers had to deal with, you know, Lord, bless them, meaning, you know, make it easy for them. Don't, you know, protect them, watch over them. Don't let them, you know, fall into troubles. But then we kind of changed that prayer, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. It used to be help them with their grades, which we still pray for Lisa. But, I mean, mostly it was help them with school, help them with their grades, and then help them with their vocation and with their work. And we still do that. But there's a simpler and deeper prayer that we have for our kids every day. And that's it. They would hear God's voice and they wouldn't miss out on the plan that he has for their life that day.
Yes.
Because they were created for a purpose.
Right. And to help them make the right choice. So it's not so much what happens to them,
but how they respond when they find themselves in a situation.
Or what happens to you and me, but what we do when we find ourselves.
Right. Do we trust God?
Yeah. Because you're going to have rough times. We've had some hard times. All of us have. Everybody listening has had some hard times. In fact, some of you might be in a hard time right now. Well, when we last were talking about Joseph, there was Potiphar's wife was after him. And she grabbed a hold of him, and he was like, no way, I'm not having it. And he did just such a godly thing, which was he ran away from the temptation, and he got away from her. But she had stripped him of his tunic, and off he was running. Isn't that where we left off?
Yeah, and then we talked about how she blamed him to get the attention off of herself.
That's
and that
right.
A woman scorned is very angry, so she was out for revenge now to justify
bitter.
Herself and to
lying.
Get revenge.
Yeah.
Right. So
what a mess.
You can imagine Joseph would be confused, like, you know, here he accepted the fact, well,
that his brothers had sold him into slavery.
Yeah, he never liked it, but he kept moving forward with the Lord. And then he was sold into slavery. And then God gave him favor.
Yeah, and he absolutely proved himself a hard
worker.
Must have been.
Must have been gifted in management.
Yeah, and devoted to whoever he was that
very
he was
loyal.
Working for. Yeah, very,
very
loyal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the staff that he was overseeing all could see that. So,
and he must not have been a complainer.
No. So this is his reward. You get to a certain level and then
oh goodness
bam-o.
All so, right, so she's gonna tell on him,
right,
as though he had done something wrong,
right? Genesis 39 verse 19 says, so this is after the master gets home from work. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, quote, your servant, again she's blaming him for bringing the servant,
right,
you know, the Hebrew into their home. Your servant did to me after this matter. And that the master's anger was aroused. So it sounds like
he's believing the wife.
And he sounds like he got really angry really quickly. 20, then Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. So, like you said, did Potiphar, I mean, we can only guess, conjecture, did he believe his wife? Did he know his wife was not trustworthy, but he trusted Joseph, but he was caught in a place where he had to save face? We don't know what was going on, but we know, you know, he was angry. Was he angry because now he lost the best worker he's ever had, and he had it so nice to know what he had except for what bread he was going to eat?
Right, I've heard it said that, you know, he was mad because he couldn't disrespect his wife, even though, you know, what she was saying was not true. Mm-hmm. Or he didn't know one way or the other.
Seems like he was saving face.
Yeah.
And I bet you he was confused, but he's angry. We don't hear anything here about, you know, he was a policeman. He was the king's police, and he was always interrogating people who were suspected to be insurrectionists.
And he could have put Joseph to death right there.
Right, instantly.
Yeah.
So, but why didn't he be a little more of a detective? Why didn't he, it doesn't say anything about him letting Joseph defend himself. You know, where he could say, you know, master, out of respect for your wife, but it's not true, you know, anything. So, but
it just
we don't
says
have,
he grabbed him and threw him in jail.
Right, right. So it's interesting to think about what happened, but it seems like it happened really quickly. Joseph wasn't given a chance to defend himself. He must have just had the breath knocked out of him, like, oh, you know, now what? And then he's thrown back into not a pit, not a slave block, but now he's thrown into jail. Right. And he's got fetters on his feet, and he's going to go into this jail, which we're going to learn more about. But I thought to apply this to our lives, God shows that in throughout David's life and what he went through before he became king in Joseph's life, that he's about training us to be humble, training us to not be prideful, training us to trust him, even though we don't know what the next thing is going to be. And so we can really safely say, this is what God's doing here.
Training us for something greater than having an easy life.
Right. Which I'm sure Joseph was starting to feel very comfortable with his life. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line for all of us is, you know, people can lie about us when we're in a place of doing, you know, hard work and being faithful and, you know, not given a fair shake. We're not able to even defend ourselves, maybe.
Maybe honestly wronged.
Honestly wronged. We're maybe passed for a promotion that we wanted and somebody else got it. But we have to go back to that place where God has a plan, and I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to hate it. It's going to hurt, and I'm going to probably cry at night, but I make a decision. I trust you, God.
Or, you know, I don't mean to sound cliche, but even to take a hard situation and to still be positive, wow, that takes something, doesn't it?
I think it takes a little time. I think initially we're human and we're going to be upset.
Yeah.
But do we choose to turn to God with our heart?
I think it might be good to think a little bit today, maybe, about how we do react when things go wrong.
And they're not fair.
And things are not fair, and things didn't go your way. And, you know, I mean, I know when things don't go my way, I'm always sunshine and roses.
You didn't hear that.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. It just encourages us. It's so real, and it shows things for what they are, and people for who they are, and we for who we are. So Lord, forgive us of our sins. Help us today. And if we're in a rough place, then help us to trust you and to turn towards you and to find out your plan, even in the middle of trouble. For we pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name, and everyone says,
and amen. And look up 2 Timothy 1:12. That's your homework assignment.
Ooh, very good. 2 Timothy 1:12.